Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are talking about, I don't know, are we talking, are you surprising me and you've got Dolly Parton on the line with us?
No, I actually, that would be a great interview, I think.
Actually, I think she would be. She does seem fascinating, and she's, I think my favorite Dolly story, I don't know if we're talking about this, but she actually came in last at or third or fourth at a Dolly Parton lookalike contest once, which is fascinating. I just love that. All right, well, let's talk about her. Dolly Parton, Dolly Rebecca Parton, was born in 1946. Of course, she's a songwriter, a singer, a multi-instrumentalist, producer, actress, author, businesswoman, and humanitarian.
So because she's got so much under her belt and so much going on, we're really only going to talk about music, and we're only going to talk about music until 1984.
Yes. The last album we're going to talk about is Rhinestone.
Rhinestone.
Didn't sound right to me. Rhinestone. Because it has Sylvester Stallone in it, and it just seemed weird. It was like, Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone? But that is the last thing we're going to be talking about.
Well, I did hear that Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger are up for the part.
They were both considered for the part, yeah. Hammond. Oh, that's a deep cut for folks who listen to FilmSack. She started playing a homemade guitar at the age of 7. At 8, she was given a real one by an uncle. And early on, she was performing on the local radio and TV shows. When she was 13, she recorded Puppy Love, that song by Donny Osmond. That led her to appear at the Grand Ole Opry.
I think it might be a different Puppy Love, because that song, this was in the...
That would have been 1959, and I don't think... maybe Donny recorded a cover of it. I'm seeing who did
or
the
maybe
original.
It's just a different...
Yeah, he recorded his version in 1972, so that would have been some... Oh, no, I take that back. It was originally by Paul Anka in 1960. Still would have been too early for her to record it. So, yeah, it must have been a different version.
Yeah. She was talking about broke Tennessee mountaineer puppy love.
Oh, that kind of puppy love.
Yeah.
Yes. Blue Ridge Mountain Puppy Love. Smoky Mountain Puppy Love.
Yeah, Smoky Mountain Puppy Love. Now, she also got career advice from Johnny Cash around this time. He said to her that she should always follow her own instincts when it came to her career. So, yes, this is great advice for her.
It is, totally. And it's fairly early on. I mean, certainly early on in her career, but pretty still early on in Johnny Cash's career.
And it seems as if she listened.
I think so. I think you can tell in some of the songs we're going to talk about that Johnny Cash was a big influence on her musically. And so professionally, to hear that as well is really good advice. I think that's good advice for anybody, right? Follow your own instincts.
Yep.
She started as a songwriter for other people, which led to some success. She wrote Put It Off Until Tomorrow for Bill Phillips and Fuel to the Flame for Skeeter Davis. When Dolly was initially signed to a label, they wanted her to be a bubblegum pop singer. She only had one charting single with Happy Happy Birthday Baby. However, that did not break the top 100.
The label thought that her vibrato and her voice was too much for country, which is weird because it's all I can think of now.
It totally is. And maybe if we had never heard Dolly Parton do country, we'd think the same thing, that her, because she's got a very high voice, kind of, I mean, you could think of it as kind of a bubblegum pop voice, but there's so much twang, regardless, that it seems like country music is the best direction.
I can see them saying, okay, you can do bluegrass, sure, but... Mm-hmm. Pop? That seems to be a stretch, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it's just all par for the course.
Of course, yeah. Her first country single was called Dumb Blonde. She charted in the top 100, and her second single, Something Fishy, reached number 17. In 1967, 2 years before I was born, she released the album Hello, I'm Dolly. I like that. Her debut album. And right from the get-go, female empowerment was a big subject for her and her songs. It was amazing. Her early songs outline poverty that her family dealt with when she was a child.
Now, The Coat of Many Colors is not about Joseph. Mm-hmm. It's about stitching together rags to make a coat.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But then also in the good old days when times were bad are just a couple of examples of she wrote about her own life and experiences with poverty.
Totally true. Tina and I went out to Dollywood years ago. Actually, I can tell you, she was pregnant with Tristan, so it was 22 years ago. And there's a recreation of her original family's cabin that they lived in.
You mean the Evil Dead cabin?
The Evil Dead cabin, yes. And you can actually, the cabin in the woods. And you can actually see what they, how they all squeezed into there. Pretty interesting.
I might be crass for saying that, but as soon as I saw a picture of it, I'm like, oh, look, it's the cabin from Evil Dead.
It kind of looks like that. Yeah. It's, but it's, you know, that was their home. Their home, this was. Hello, I'm Dolly also contained three versions of songs that she had written for others. Put It Off Until Tomorrow, Field of Flame, and I'm in No Condition. The first single was The Last Thing on My Mind. It was a duet with Tom Paxton, and it reached the top 10 and led to a six-year streak of almost uninterrupted top 10 singles for them. In 1968, she released the album Just Between You and Me. Her first solo single was Just Because I'm a Woman, which was a moderate hit. None of her solo songs were as successful as her work with Porter Wagoner.
In the Good Old Days has since become a standard, even though it really didn't have much success in the beginning. It's now something that's played quite frequently.
Yeah, it seemed like it was familiar. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised I don't have a lot of covers of it because it feels like it's a very coverable song. Mm-hmm. This album was released shortly after she joined Porter's band and started appearing on his TV show. The album peaked at number 8 on the country chart, and The Last Thing on My Mind was the only single released from this album and reached the top 10 in the country charts. In 1968, she released Just Because I'm a Woman. She was dealing with some pretty serious issues. The title track, for example, is about a woman dealing with a man who passes judgment about her sexual past.
From the bridge, I see reflections in the waters far below. You kissed me for the first time. He held me awfully tight. And the bridge.
The bridge is about a woman who gets pregnant, ends up committing suicide.
And that song ends so abruptly. There's no question right, what happened there.
Right, yes. I mean, at least with me and Bobby McGee, or not me and Bobby McGee, the Ode to Billy Joe, you kind of wonder, all right, she was tossing something off the bridge, and then there was a story. It's like there's a lot of vagueness to the story. Yeah, no, not so much about this one in the bridge. This album, by the way, reached number 22 on the Hot Country chart. In 1968, she and Porter released the album Just the Two of Us. Holding On to Nothing and The Dark End of the Street were singles from this album, with later a release of We'll Get Ahead Someday. This is where I start to see these weird, like it's a Porter Wagoner hallmark, right? Like it's his calling card. This song where Dolly Parton sings these vocals and then Porter Wagoner steps in and starts singing. And that was the day that we realized our dog was underneath the car. You know, and it's like a... delivered like these really sad stories. There's one in there called Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark. Jiminy Christmas. And they're just so over the top, like the most like heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching stories. I'll talk more about one on there called The Party later on the show, but I think it's the best example of this, and we'll talk about that later. The song Just Because I'm a Woman, the single, was released in 1968 and was a moderate hit.
So I will say this now, and I'm sure it'll come up again and again, but Porter seemed to have a very significant stake in her success. For sure. And that's great that he was so encouraging and so integral in helping her get going, because being a woman in the country field and moving on and moving up in it, I think it needed to have him behind her for a while.
Mm-hmm. In 1969, she released In the Good Old Days When Times Were Bad. We mentioned that earlier. The title track is a look back at her childhood and the values and lessons that she picked up. On that album, she also covered Harper Valley PTA and Divorce by Tammy Wynette and The Carroll County Accident by Porter Wagoner. It reviewed very well. It was a top 20 chart topper on the Billboard country charts. In 1969, she and Porter released the album Always, Always. There's, you'll find a few of these, by the way. There's an Always, Always. There's a Dolly, Dolly, Dolly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad bands like, you know, Cake and Linkin Park don't do this. Linkin, Linkin, Linkin. Your Love was a top five single. The album made the Billboard top LPs at number 162. And had another one of these songs, had this song called Melina on here. Another one of these sappy tracks with Porter talking in the middle of the song about a kid dying. It was to the point almost where I was ready to just start hitting skip. If I was in a song and Porter started talking, my finger hovered over the next button. Just skip to the next track. The title track, Always, Always, was the second single. It also charted really well. In 1969, they also released My Blue Ridge Mountain Boy. This is just a Dolly solo album. Title track tells a story about a girl who moves to New Orleans and becomes a prostitute and dreams of the boy she left behind. Ah, you know, that time old tale. There's also a really good cover of In the Ghetto, the Elvis Presley song, but it's...
Which, yeah, I mean, it was made famous by Cartman.
Well, okay. It's another little hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. People, can't you understand? A child needs a helping hand, or he'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. But I think if I remember correctly, she even changes some of the lyrics in this one to kind of her own life. Evening Shade is about an orphanage with an evil headmistress. I love this one. We'll talk about this one later. Daddy tells the story about a girl pleading with her father about not leaving her mother. I mean, some really heavy topics for Dolly throughout this time period. She and Porter were tired of her lack of chart success as a solo artist. He persuaded her to cover Jimmy Rogers' Mule Skinning Blues. It was a gimmick, but it was a gimmick that worked. Listen, Porter Wagoner is Mr. Grand Old Opry himself. That's his nickname. So, yeah. I mean, we know of Dolly because of her crossover success, but in the country world, Porter Wagoner is a pretty revered name, I'm sure. And they were probably looked at as equals at the time in their in their levels of success. I don't know. That's my guess. In 1970, The Fairest of Them All was released. Down from Dover is about an unwed girl who is disowned by her parents and who waits, with no positive results, for the father of the child to return. There's a lot of stories like that or songs like that.
Yeah. Dolly didn't shy away from controversial topics. She was keeping it real, as the kids would say. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really care what people thought she should be singing about. She was singing about what she wanted to sing about.
And it seems like she continued that trend through most of the albums that we listened to. It felt like near the end, we start getting into the same-o, same-o. I mean...
when she was into her Crisco?
The disco songs, yes. Mm-hmm. Country disco crossover Crisco. Uh-huh. I like that.
Yeah, Crisco.
All right, very good. There are two other story songs on the album, Daddy Come Get Me and Robert. One dealt with a boy who is in love with a girl that he does not know is her sister because of infidelity. The other is about a woman trying to get released from a mental asylum that her cheating husband places her in.
Okay.
And I'll let you decide which title goes with which story.
All I can say is, damn, Dolly's dark.
Yeah, I love these story songs, though. I mean, they're heartbreaking.
These are like songs Danzig would do.
Yeah, but you'd never be able to understand the lyrics.
Oh no, Danzig is good. He's the mother guy. He's got great.
Oh, yeah, Danzig. All right, yeah, but okay. There are other bands that if they try to pull this
Dolly.
Off, yeah. Let me out of mental asylum, Danny. Come get me. Anyway, she released her first live album in 1970 called "A Real Live Dolly." She really steers into that.
She leans into the doll part.
She really does. Yep. In 1971, The Golden Streets of Glory. This was a sacred music release. It was reviewed very well in 1971 and has since been re-released a number of times. Kind of glad that they put all this stuff on one album.
Boy, if it had been spread out.
Yeah, exactly. In 1971, she released the album Joshua. This actually was her first number one single. And really, if you listen to it, it's basically it's like a Johnny Cash song, like the way it's sung, the way it's written. And I'm not complaining about that at all. I think it's really good, but it's a boy named Sue, basically. It's a girl named Joshua. This album was also nominated for a Grammy. Other standouts on the album were You Can't Reach Me Anymore, The Last One to Touch Me, and Chicken Every Sunday. Actually, the song, I think, was the one that was released for a Grammy. I misread that. In 1971, Coat of Many Colors was released. It was nominated for Album of the Year at the CMAs. It was also on Time Magazine's list of the 100 greatest country albums of all time. We're talking about the story songs. If I Lose My Mind is about being in an unwilling swinging relationship.
Understand why he made me watch him love another woman. And he tried to make me love another man.
These are stories that you don't hear about in country music anymore, even any kind of
Reba
music.
Didn't think about this stuff.
No, not at all. Like, you know.
And you did Garth Brooks.
Exactly, right? Nothing. Neither one of them talked about that. But yeah.
She's like the NWA of country.
Some of this you wonder, was she in relationships where this was coming up, and she's kind of writing from the heart? Because it's like the song talks about this: my husband wanted to watch me touch another woman, and then wanted me to watch him or touch another man or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I'm not going to speculate on that because yeah. I'm afeard of legal stuff.
Well, sure. No, I mean we're asking the question. We're not providing the answer to that one. Let's see here. Dolly said that the title track is one of her all-time favorites, of course. As you mentioned, not about Joseph. It mentions him, but it's about her mother stitching a coat together out of rags for her daughter. In 1972, the album Touch Your Woman was released. The title track.
Only an album title that could come out in 1972.
Really? I know. Touch Your Woman. The title track was nominated for a Grammy. This album was released in a very high point in her career, and the critics were loving everything that she did. That same year, she released a song of or an album full of songs written by Porter Wagoner called My Favorite Songwriter, Porter Wagoner. Dolly, just blink twice if you had the option to not name your album My Favorite Song.
And the album cover is pretty funny on this one, too.
It is.
Yeah. He's got her hand on her shoulder. He's behind her. She's sitting down.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Their album covers, I don't know, 70s country music album covers, they were just experimenting with things like cutting out photographs and putting them on top of one another and awkward, kind of the awkward family photos look.
Well, so here's the thing I will say is if you want something fun to do while you're listening to this session of Soundography, look through her album covers, because between 69 and 84, there's some pretty funny stuff in there.
There really is. There's some that I think, you know, you and I both are like, what is going on this cover? Standout tracks on this album, by the way, were Lonely Coming Down, Do You Hear the Robins Sing, and Still on Your Mind. In 1973, she released the album My Tennessee Mountain Home. The house featured on the cover is reported to be the house where her family lived in the late 40s and early 50s.
And like I said before, it looks like the cabin from Evil Dead.
It's considered a concept album. It tells the story of her childhood through to her success. And My Tennessee Mountain Home became a sort of theme for Dollywood.
So Dolly's dropping concept albums. How dream theater of her.
Right, I know. What's next? 1973, Bubbling Over, well-received by critics. The only single from this album was Traveling Man, but it did peak at number 20 on the Hot Country charts. During this time, she continued to release albums with Porter, but her solo success was starting to take priority. Burning the Midnight Oil, Together Always, We Found It, Love and Music were all collaborations with Wagoner.
Please don't take him just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare with flaming locks of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And
in 1974, she released the album Jolene. The title track was by far her biggest hit up to this time. It was after this album that she decided to leave Porter's organization, but they did continue to work together until 1975. This is such a great album for original versions of well-known covers. Obviously, the title track and that great White Stripes cover. And then it's also got I Will Always Love You, which was about her parting with Porter Wagoner professionally. And of course, this was a big hit for Whitney Houston for The Bodyguard. That song, by the way, I Will Always Love You, recorded for Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, of course, also went on the top of the country charts.
That must have been expensive to always love them. It's a whorehouse.
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
That's a bill.
It is a bill. It's like the. It's like all you. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to finish the joke. It's like I hit the brakes on that one. I feel like just
I've never heard someone vocally go before.
I know. I'm actually, my neck hurts. I feel like I might have whiplash right there.
The greatest unfinished punchline in podcasting history.
What's great is that, you know, people can finish the joke themselves. They know where I was going with that. Hey, let's talk about her 1974 album, Love is Like a Butterfly. The title track of this was her third consecutive release to hit number one. And yes, it features another song about swinging. Oh my God, what's going on here? Butterfly was considered to be her signature song and was used on her music series at the time, or as the theme. 1975, she released Bargain Store. The title track takes the metaphor of the worn secondhand things in a discount store to talk about a woman damaged by a relationship. She's just a piece of old luggage, basically. And this album, by the way, comes with a bargain album cover design. On this album, she covered Merle Haggard's You'll Always Be Special to Me, and he in turn covered Kentucky Gambler. Another live release came out called In Concert, simply In Concert.
So the guests on this are kind of a big deal. She had Ronnie Millsap, Charlie Pride, Chet Atkins, Gary Stewart, and Jerry Reed.
Very cool. Wow, that's huge. That's a great, that's like two-thirds of Hee-Haw guests for 1975. Like basically they left being on the stage at Hee-Haw and went right into Dolly's studio. 1975, she also released the album Dolly. I mean, we're looking at like, sometimes three, but usually two albums a year released, which is also why we stopped at 1984. 1975 album Dolly. This was basically a collection of, or called a collection of Dolly's favorite love songs. But the opening track is this thing called We Used To. And I can't see how Led Zeppelin gets sued by Tara or by Spirit for something that sounds kind of similar to Taurus, yet this sounds exactly like Stairway to Heaven.
We used to walk through fields of green. We used to sit by clear blue streams. We used to be so happy, me and you.
And she gets away with it. Now, she later covered Stairway to Heaven. And maybe that was her penance for doing this. Like, like basically, all right, now you need to do a cover and all the royalties need to go to Page and Plant. But imagine you'll insert a little snippet of that opening here so people can hear this.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because I called it Stairway to Dolly.
Pretty much, yeah. Reportedly, the standout tracks are Most of All, Why, Because I Love You, and Only the Memory Remains. In 1976, All I Can Do came out. With this album, Dolly took a more active role in production and started a push for more commercial and pop direction. Just in case you've lost track, by the way, this is the 17th solo studio album from Dolly Parton. We're now at part two. No. this contained an Emmylou Harris and Merle Haggard cover. Shattered Image and The Fire That Keeps You Warm are about her regular appearances in the tabloids. And this was the first time a reviewer had talked about her emergence into the pop world. So she's starting to cross over a little bit. In 1977, New Harvest First Gathering was released. And she covered the song My Girl, but did it as My Love. Also covered Jackie Wilson's Your Love Lifted Me Higher on that album.
So I'd like to point out that this album title would also work for Slayer as well.
It totally would. Yeah. Applejack, the song on there included Roy Acuff, Kitty Well, Johnny Wright, Chet Atkins, and Minnie Pearl as backup singers.
That sounds like something that would be taken straight from the Hee Haw stage or ended up on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas album.
Easily. And you know what? I watched Hee Haw back in the day, and I wonder if I ever saw Dolly Parton on there. I would be surprised if I didn't, right? It seems like
she didn't watch Knight Rider, but you watched Hee Haw?
It was all about what my grandparents were into at the time, because we didn't have, there was no DVR, there was no VCR. So you basically were watching what the people who controlled the TV wanted to watch.
Oh, that means you watched Joker's Wild and...
No, don't knock Joker's Wild. I love Joker's
Wild. Oh, no, I love the Joker's
Wild. That was daytime. That was...
I think that was
daytime, wasn't it? Or afternoon. Joker's Wild and Tic-Tac-Toe seems like they were on after I got home from school.
Yeah.
But I love that. Joker, and Joker. A triple. All right. 1977, Here You Come Again. This is known as her most accessible pop crossover attempt. Seeing this album cover, by the way, completely remember it being all over the damn place. Seemed like everybody had this album. It seemed like it was as ubiquitous as the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Title track, Here You Come Again, reached number one on the country charts and number three on the Hot 100. Song on there called Me and Little Andy. Guess what? Oh, God, Dolly can still do songs about kids dying. She hasn't lost her touch. And on this one, she takes the Porter Wagoner role, by the way, and she does the little speaky bit in the middle of it.
Well, old habits are hard to break.
They really are, exactly. Dance with what brung you. Yeah. 1978, the album Heartbreaker was released. This was designed to be aimed at the pop markets. It contained several songs that could be called disco.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, what's up with this album cover?
I don't know. So I wanted to look at that. You know, I'm glad you're bringing it up because because I only see, when I look at the album cover on iTunes, I just see the front of it, obviously, which is Dolly Parton sitting down. The whole thing is floating in the sky, clouds, blue sky behind her. Dolly is standing but putting her leg up, and then there's another Dolly coming in from the side. And I'm curious if this is like a gatefold album. Like, basically, I mean, it's still weird even if you've got the back of an album to look at as well, but it feels like there's more here that we're not seeing.
Well, the coloration in it is weird. The pose is strange. I know the hairstyle is 70s, but still strange.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just a little odd.
It is. It's interesting. I'm looking at, all right, Dolly Parton, Heartbreaker. So, there's other photos or other images of her. Interesting. Here's the cover shoot. So I'm going to give you a link to this because it's really interesting.
Oh, I see him.
Okay. So, and it's like her just basically posing with her leg up in front of that painting. And then there are two ginormous roses on the ground. But then, there's shots of her where she's painted into the painting. And this all seems to make a little bit more sense. I still can't find if it's a gatefold album. Oh, there it is. Okay. Here's what they did. Oh, okay. Totally see it now. All right. So if you look at the full album cover expanded, it's a painting and Dolly is busting through it.
Okay.
But on the album cover that they give you on iTunes or Spotify or wherever, you've got Dolly sitting there with her leg on a desk, in posing in front of a painting, and then another Dolly, like just the head and the leg of Dolly peeking
through.
Kind of
karate kicking her way toward her butt.
Yeah, kind of. Like she's like, I'm kicking my own butt on this album. But if you look at the actual album with the gatefold cover, it's a painting. Dolly's busting through it. And as a matter of fact, the actual album, if you had the vinyl, you don't even see the full image of Dolly on the right side with her leg up. I think that's maybe taken from the inside. Oh. I know. It's confusing.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that when we were in the car. I was looking at that album cover saying, I don't know what's going on here. And I made a note to myself to look at that when we got home. So I never did. So I'm glad you mentioned it. She released Baby I'm Burning, and I Really Got the Feeling as a double A side. One was more for pop listeners and the other was more for country listeners.
Kind of like Donny Osmond. He's a little bit rock and roll and Marie's a little bit country.
That's right, except Dolly's straddling both lines.
Yep.
There were disco remixes on this album, by the way, of I Want to Fall in Love and Baby I'm Burning. So you can see that crossover happening already.
So she won the Grammy for Best Female Vocal Performance for Here You Come Again.
Cool. 1979, she released the album Great Balls of Fire. Contained two covers, the title track and a bluegrass-flavored version of the Beatles' Help. It was really good. 1980, Dolly, Dolly, Dolly. Told you there'd be one like this. Her least sounding country album yet, Starting Over Again, was written by Donna Summer.
So this was an entire album of covers.
It was.
She could tell you that by the how many times she said her name.
That's right. Exactly. Cover, cover, cover was taken. So she went Dolly, Dolly, Dolly. It was thought of as one of her weaker efforts and it was panned by critics. And as a cover guy, I can't say that anything on here was impressed me as much as the Great Balls of Fire and Help cover from the previous album. Mm-hmm. In 1980, the soundtrack to the film Nine to Five was released, starring her and Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
This was a major hit, but what I really loved about that song was the fact that the percussion was done by the typewriter.
Yeah, it's very cool. I'm sure there was a video too that where they maybe had a bunch of secretaries all playing along with that too. Be really cool. In 1980, she released a regular album called 9 to 5 and Odd Jobs, another concept album. This time around, the theme of work.
Yeah, she's getting all kinds of proggy with the concept albums. Next, she'll be doing a Lord of the Rings extended yodel solos.
I'd buy that. I'd like to hear that. One track was a full-on disco inferno remake of House of the Rising Sun with a few lyric changes thrown in for good measure. And Mike Post produced this album.
And oddly enough, I could hear his influence on it. It sounded like Mike Post. And if you want to know more about Mike Post, check out last season.
Yep. This is basically Dolly with both feet planted firmly in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of moved away from disco, maybe a couple influences still in there. But now we are totally into the 80s sound. And Mike Post was like, yeah, I can do that. I got hold my beer. I got this. Also this year, she worked with Porter Wagoner again to release an album called Porter and Dolly. No word on how many kids died in the songs on Porter and Dolly. 1982, she released the album Heartbreak Express. This was a return to a more traditional country sound. The first single was Single Woman, a honky-tonk inspired ballad about a singles bar, and it was a top 10 hit. By the way, to those of you younger than 40, a singles bar was a place you'd go to meet other people who were also looking to meet someone.
Actually, we could actually go really meta and open a singles bar called Tinder.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. That would basically be it. And what would be the equivalent of swiping? I guess the chairs, you know, you basically swipe right to get out of the chair and go to another another table. The soundtrack, by the way, to Best Little Horror House in Texas was released in 1982. Charted very well for her, number five on the country charts and number 63 on the Billboard Top 200. And that's where she re-released her I Will Always Love You track. In 1983, Burlap and Satin was released. Contained a couple songs that were outtakes from the Best Little Horror House soundtrack album.
Cowboy's Way was actually supposed to be sung by Burt Reynolds, but it was cut from the movie.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Learned a lesson there that apparently she did not learn for Rhinestone, which we'll talk about in a minute. On that album, by the way, she also released a duet with Willie Nelson, a cover of Eddie Arnold's I Really Don't Want to Know.
And then they both exhaled.
Very good. 1984, The Great Pretender. This was a cover album of hits from the 50s and 60s. Lots of synthesizers planted this firmly in the pop world.
Cover of Downtown was a second single, and it sounded like a TV theme for a crazy girls in the city trying to make it show.
Kind of did, yeah. Actually a better cover album for me than Dolly Dolly Dolly, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. And then the soundtrack to the Sylvester Stallone project Rhinestone was released.
And according to All Music, this is her worst received album with one star.
Which is one star too many, if you ask me. The songs, the duet songs with the two of them singing, actually anytime Sylvester Stallone is singing, it just sounds like a cat is being beaten. It's just horrible. It's not good. And in 1984, she released Once Upon a Christmas with Kenny Rogers, moving her into that collaboration field, which we're going to stop there. Maybe save the rest of Dolly for another time.
Give it another six seasons.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Hammond, has she done anything worth noting in artistic world? And
so... There is so much stuff that we could talk about. She has acted. She's opened amusement parks. She's had tons and tons of honor. Her life is now a college class people study because it's this whole rags to riches and hard work stuff.
Wow.
She's super charitable. She's done all these amazing things. And for me to list them, we'd be sitting here for another hour. But one of the cool things I did see was that she's announced a Netflix series, kind of a docu-series about her life, which based on how Netflix does those, could be really good. And then I found also that she's Miley Cyrus's godmother.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. And the one thing I'll bring up, because my wife was very pushy about the Christmas album, that the Christmas album is certified 5 times platinum. So I can't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and to be honest, little peek into the future, the Christmas album's going to come up again.
Oh, is it, Hammond? Okay. Well, like you're foreshadowing there. All right. So you go see Dolly in concert. And I like this because we talk about the Stairway to Heaven songs. She does a cover of Stairway to Heaven. So she has a Stairway to Heaven song, but I don't think it's one that she'd do a lot in concert.
No.
But what is the song that you're guaranteed to hear when you see a Dolly Parton show? What is their most played song? What are our choices?
So there could be hundreds of these.
There could be, yes.
And I think any of them are viable, especially if we're cutting off at like 84. But Nine to Five, good point.
Yeah.
Nine to Five, Jolene, Joshua, Here You Come Again, Coat of Many Colors. I'm kind of with Jolene.
Jolene's a pretty good one, especially because of, our sources are not going to stop at 84. It's going to be everything she's performed ever. Yeah. And Jolene had a huge resurgence of popularity. So I think that's a really good guess. My guess is Here You Come Again, just because it was her first mainstream hit. So I see her doing that. It's like her signature song. I see her doing it at every show.
There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a color. coat, and it was away down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love, she made my coat of many colors.
Neither of those are number one. Coat of Many Colors is number one, which we did have on our list, followed by 9 to 5. Jolene tied with 132 performances. I Will Always Love You, Here You Come Again, Two Doors Down, Islands in the Stream, Smoky Mountain Memories, My Tennessee Mountain Home, and Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That, all rounding out the top 10. Islands in the Stream, by the way, a Bee Gees cover, just under the wire, just over the wire for us to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We talked about her and Kenny Rogers, but didn't get to that song. But that was such a massive hit for them that I'm not surprised. But that's the biggest cover on her list. I'm just seeing what else. Lay Your Hands on Me by Bon Jovi, which is a more recent cover. Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, Bob Dylan. Stairway to Heaven is on her list at number 43. Help by the Beatles, number also tied for 43.
What I'd love to see on her list, mm-hmm. and this has nothing to do with my pick.
Sure.
I'd love to see her doing like Fight for Your Right to Party.
it's not out of her, it's not out of the realm of possibility seeing the things that she's covered. Yeah.
She's cheeky enough to pull that off.
Totally. All right, well, let's talk about covers. Who would we like to hear her cover? And again, that Backwoods Barbie album, if I remember correctly, has a few covers on it that are kind of bizarre choices. I want to say that Stairway to Heaven cover is on there. Collective Soul's Shine is on there. And this was her first mainstream album. After a while. No, let's see here. Tracks of My Tears, Smokey Robinson, Drives Me Crazy. That was the one that was really far out there, is Fine Young Cannibals, covered by Dolly Parton, which is crazy to me.
Well, it's a weird song for her to pick because it doesn't seem to fit her voice. I mean, I would assume it doesn't fit her voice very well, but I guess it works.
It does work. Yeah, actually, I've played it on Uncoverable before. She actually did a cover album before that too, called Those Were the Days, and she covers, you know, the title track and Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Me and Bobby McGee, Crimson and Clover, stuff like that. So she's
what we need to do is have her cover Enter Sandman.
That was almost on my list, by the way, or that was almost my what would we like to hear her cover?
Mm-hmm.
But Stairway to Heaven was actually a few years even before that. 2002, she did Stairway to Heaven on Little Sparrow. I was trying to remember when that was. All right. Well, let's talk about who we'd like to hear them cover. And mine kind of plays along that Collective Soul Shine path. Sticking to the 90s, she's proven she can cover 90s rock. Three Doors Down's Kryptonite, I would like to hear her cover. And she's, you know, there's already kind of a little bit of a twang in that song, a little bit of a country guitar style to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they could push that, and this would be a great song to hear her cover.
Yeah.
And I'd say keep the lyrics the same. Don't change it to, you know, would you still call me Supergirl? I would say call me Superman.
Yeah. How about you? My choice is Year Zero by Ghost, because it starts out with a Satanas, Lucifer, Beelzebub. Oh my God. I'd love to hear her do that.
Do you think that anyone who released a gospel album would go this far astray?
I mean, really, why the hell not? She's covered everything else.
Yeah, this is true.
Actually, I'm kidding. It crossed my mind, but I actually have a much better choice, and it's actually a legitimate choice.
Oh, what's that?
It's Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Let her bluegrass the living crap out of that thing, and I think it would totally work because it's got really good bones for the song.
That's great. That's a really good choice.
Still, I want her to cover Ghost.
Excellent. All right, well, let's talk about our playlist. This is where we pick 5 songs each that we would add to a playlist. If you had one of her greatest hits albums, stick this on the end of it, and you'll have a a good set of deep cuts to go along with the popular tracks. I'll start, and mine actually comes right from that very first album from her, called Hello, I'm Dolly. This is a song called I Don't Want to Throw Rice.
She took him away.
And great subject matter. It's about a woman who is watching her ex get married to another woman, and she doesn't want to throw rice at her. She wants to throw rocks. Like, it's like very, it's like such a, I don't know, like a primal. The lyrics are so primal and fantastic. I love it. And it's like, it, this really got me excited to listen to the rest of her. Her music. The next one is called JJ Sneed.
Turn your heart against me with her evil, cunning eyes. Her evil, cunning eyes. JJ, it's been you and me right from the very start. And every job we ever pulled, I always done my part. We agreed we'd stick together.
It's from the album Joshua. This is kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde story, except she's the Bonnie, right? And JJ Sneed is the Clyde, and she double crosses him, and it's great. It's a really cool, a cool little story there. Mm-hmm. That JJ Sneed on 9 to 5 Another Job. She does a cover of Woody Guthrie's Deportee. Which is great. It's so good. And I'd forgotten how much I really liked that song, and hear a duo version of it really made me happy. And I mentioned that album also has a really good cover of House of the Rising Sun, but it just dawned on me that you're going to talk about that. So I'm not going to say any more about it. all right. I promised you I would talk about this one, The Party.
Thinking only of ourselves and not our little ones. The party started out wild, and it grew wilder as the night wore on. With drinking, laughing, telling dirty jokes, nobody thinking of home.
I can't believe I'm picking this, but if you're going to listen to just one of these Porter and Dolly gut-wrenching story collaborations, this is the one you should pick. You know why? Because God burns down somebody's house and kills their kids because they went to a party where people were telling dirty jokes. That's the story of The Party. Number 5, her cover of Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line. It feels like it's a, you know, come full circle, right? Johnny Cash tells her to trust her instincts. Later on, she covers I Walk the Line on The Great Pretender. It was a pretty good cover album, but this track for me was the standout. Great cover of I Walk the Line.
Didn't Live do a version of I Walk the Line?
Did they? I don't remember a week ago us talking about this, Hammond.
It's 2 weeks ago.
Wait, oh, it was, well, for us it was 2 weeks. For them, it's not. Actually, it was more than that because we did Sir Mix-a-Lot in that time. Mm-hmm. Did I include their, no.
I know we talked, you didn't pick it, but I think we talked about it.
I had to look back because it'd be great if I picked I Walk the Line for every musician that we talk about on Soundography. If I pick a cover that they did of I Walk the Line in my list, would be great.
Yep, it was because Daughtry tried to push it off as his own.
Oh yeah, we definitely talked about it, but it was, yeah. I just looked, it wasn't in my list. All right, how about your top five?
Okay, I kind of all over the place because there are things in this catalog that I really liked, and then things that I kind of didn't, and then things that I tolerated and things that I didn't. So I'm kind of all over the place, and my list kind of reflects that. so bear with me. The first song I picked was Sweet Summer Lovin' from Dolly. This is one of the few songs in history to blur the lines between country and disco.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good at blurring that line. And she did it for a lot of success, even though I don't think it's aged very well.
Yeah, it's a disco song I actually didn't mind so much, you know, and I'm not always a big fan of disco. I like it more in the nostalgic sense now than I did at the time, but I kind of like this song.
Yeah, it was a good one. And like I said, I think that if anyone was going to pull off that blend, it was going to be her with a exceeding level of success. I do think in some ways, though, it hasn't aged all that well. Mm-hmm. Next one for me is Two Doors Down. Which is weird because you picked a song like Three Doors Down.
Whoa, and they should cover that. Three Doors Down should cover Two Doors Down.
and then also have someone else cover Behind the Green Door.
Right, there you go. I'm sure there's something next, Girl Next Door. There's some song called Girl Next Door that...
Yeah. This was not a country hit, but it charted really, really well on the pop charts. And I can see why, and I really liked it because it... If you're standing on the state line of country and pop, she was only a couple of toes into the country world, and she was really starting to embrace that pop sensibility. And I think she did it with a lot of talent and very well.
Yeah.
The next one I picked was a cover. I went for the cover this time, and I picked the cover of Help from Great Balls of Fire. Changed my mind and I've opened up the door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Won't you help me get my feet back on the ground? Won't you please, please help me? And now my life has changed. Because she bluegrassed it up, and I really, really liked it.
Nice.
Then I picked House of the Rising Sun from Odd Jobs. He was a gambler. Mother died when I was young. Now, I'm not saying I thoroughly enjoyed this one, but I will say that she has stones to not just cover it, but to cover it with this type of orchestration, which is very disco infused.
Yeah. Yeah. And it works.
It works, and I'm not saying it's my favorite. I'm putting it down because of the admiration I have for her to do this arrangement with that song. Mm-hmm. And God bless her for doing it, because the world is a better place because she did it.
Yeah.
And then the last one I picked, I was having a really, really hard time picking songs. So I've talked to Brian about it. I talked to my wife about it. It was, there's no secret that I was having a hard time picking songs because the hits are hits for a reason. And I love the hits. The rest of it were either depressing songs about people committing suicide or their kids dying. Mm-hmm. And because of my work history, I gotta pick songs that make me feel a little better than that.
Sure. Makes sense.
So I was talking to my wife. I'm like, I need one more song. She goes, well, pick Hard Candy Christmas from the Christmas album. I said, okay. Just fine, dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow break. So my wife told me, Stacy, told me to pick the song, and I did. And it's a good Christmas song, and y'all can suck it.
Yeah, hard candy Christmas, y'all can suck it. As you said there. You know what? It's a good one. And they even made a movie about it a few years ago, like a made for TV Hallmark Christmas movie.
Well, I bet you Kim's seen it.
I bet you she has. Yes, definitely has. She could tell you all about it. Very good. By the way, I misspoke. Little Sparrow was the one that contained Shine, because I know somebody's going to email us and say, you got it wrong. Seven Bridges Road and Cole Porter's I Get a Kick Out of You, she covered on Little Sparrow. It was the next album, Halos and Horns, where she covers Stairway to Heaven. And so I just
want to make sure. Fitting.
It is way more. Yeah, right. And it's too bad she didn't cover Highway to Hell, because then, you know, Halos and Horns, it would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm. Or Back in Black.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell. I always think of those as a good
parallel. That's a good balance for the...
For sure.
Yeah.
So speaking of a good balance, next week, we're going to listen to Loverboy.
So if I told you that I want to start a Loverboy tribute band and call it Coverboy?
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, you should. Do they need a Chapman stick performance in their...
No, I'm only there for production value.
Your producer. Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect. I love it. Hey, you can email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Let's open up the email zipper bag. And what do we have inside?
Oh, we got an email from Jamie Harris.
Okay, do you want me to read this one?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. He says, I thoroughly enjoyed your fish episode, despite not liking fish. I didn't like Genesis or Tolkien, so why would I like Marillion? Two notes on the podcast, because I know how much you like feedback. Number one, Car Share is a delightful love story set to a commute featuring Britain and Ireland's favorite comedian, Peter Kay. The female character's name is Kay Lee, and he gives her a lift to the supermarket where they work with a greatest hit station, Always On, in the car. Fairly certain the only way you'll ever get to see it is to import a DVD, as the music rights will be a bugger to organize for outside the UK. Side note is that her brother-in-law is played by the lead singer of Elbow. The second thing is that Faith Healer is a cover of a sensational Alex Harvey Band original, which I only discovered because it was used as part of a robbery in a Christopher Brookmeyer novel, The Sacred Art of Stealing. Don't feel bad about missing it because it's a Scottish thing. Signed, Jamie Harris.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I mean, I realized it was a cover after I started building my list when I was doing notes, but I didn't know who originally did it, so I appreciate the information.
I didn't realize it at all, so I'm glad to know that. So very cool. Thank you, Jamie. If you want to email us, once again, the email address is soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography there. Visit our website, soundography.com. And on that site, you'll find every episode we've ever done, 5 seasons plus this new 6th season. It's all there. Each episode has a playlist that you can check out on Spotify if songs are available, as well as a link to Amazon where you can buy the stuff you're hearing. And of course, support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/soundography. You can also leave your reviews on our show. Leave them wherever you get your podcasts. I think that's it. Hammond, any last comments?
I'm glad we did Dolly. I'm also really glad we stopped at 1984.
Me too. It was a lot of Dolly, and I don't know if I could do the other half of her catalog. Although it's funny, because talking about some of those albums, I've listened to all this stuff from 2002, 2003, 2004, because there's some great covers on there. So maybe someday we'll revisit the second half of Dolly's catalog. But for right now, that's it. And for right now, this is it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.